7th chapter of the book of Judges. I hear pages turning. Y'all ain't used to turning to Judges. It's right after Joshua. Judges. Still hear pages. Are you there?
Amen. Amen.
And it read thusly, then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him arose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midians were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreb in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand have saved me. Now therefore, go proclaim in the ear of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. In their return of the people, 22,000, and there remain 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them, for these there, that it shall be that whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought them down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth him, thou shalt sit by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, upon their knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped putting their hands to their mouth was 300. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By these 300 men that lappeth, I will save you and deliver the Midians into thy hands, and let all the people go, every man unto his own place. And I just want to use for a thought this morning. You are in the army, but are you ready to fight? You are in the army, but are you ready to fight? Gracious Father, I need you. I can't do this by myself, Master, but I need you, Father, to sustain me. Help me, Father, not to look to the left nor the right, but look at you. Master, this is my prayer. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Judges, you will find that after Joshua died, that the people began to go their own way. So God raised up judges. And judges were simply those men and women who would fight for the people. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And everyone did according to their own way. And a lot of times, when we are left to our own devices, You never know where we'll wind up. And so what the people would do, they would sin, and then they fell under servitude because God allowed the enemy to get them. And then they would pray, that is supplication. They would ask God specifically to deliver them. And then God would what? He would provide salvation because he would send the judge to deliver his people. And then after they got delivered, then there was a period of silence. Now, everyone was doing what they wanted to do. And because they wanted to do whatever they wanted, they did that which was evil in the sight of God. Because when God told them to go into Canaan, he gave them some orders that they ought to run out all of the Canaanites, but they left some folk there. And so it was so bad that they had to live in caves and dens, and they couldn't hardly grow anything because every time they grew something, the enemy would come along and take their goods. Not only did he take all that they grew, but they took sheep and cattle, so they couldn't have any meat as well. He said, Gideon, I'm going to make you an army of one. Huh? Now, you got to remember that there was 135,000 Midianites, and then there was only 32,000. There was only 32,000 of the Israelites. And then God turned around and sent 22,000 home. Lord have mercy. But what he did was, God will allow the enemy to vex you if you decide to put on your clown suit. You won't be able to do nothing because of the fact you decided that you wanted to do what you wanted to do. And it doesn't line up with the will of God. And God has given us some orders, and we act like we don't understand the orders and how we ought to obey God. I tell you, the title of the lesson or the theme of the lesson is that you're in the army, but are you ready to fight? What are you willing to do for the Lord after all he's done for you? And a lot of us don't understand that when you signed up, good gracious of life, when you signed up for this, army, you got to understand that it's a full time job. This ain't the reserves. We don't have any weekend warriors when you sign up for this army. We sang a song, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord, but only on the weekend. We only serve the Lord. We come to church when it's our time to sing. Good gracious of life. We only come when the spotlight is on us, and not on God. That sound like a weekend warrior to me. But you got to come all the time because you got to recognize that you are in the army. in the army of the Lord that this is a full-time job. And you can't be AWOL. Lot of folk, you can't find them with a Geiger counter when it comes to doing something for the Lord. Huh? You got the title, but what you doing with the title? Huh? You got, huh? You've been a buck private for too long. But it's time to get some rank behind the title. It's time for you to put on the uniform. It's time for you to get busy for the Lord. It's time for you to get in the fight. You've been missing in action too long. You've been running, ripping, and running, but you can't find you. And I've been in church for a long time, y'all, some 28 years, and it's the same everywhere I go, brother pastor. Yes, sir. Huh? You got 10% of the folk doing the work of many. Huh? You got 10% of the people who pay tithes, and everybody else is living on them. Huh? You only got a small percentage. That's why God knew what he was doing. He said, it don't take much for the Lord, because God will take the 10% and he'll stretch it out that it'll cover all of us. Even though it's your job to ante up and kick in. And a lot of time we don't ante up and kick in. That's why we can't get nowhere, because you don't do what you're called to do. Huh? And so look at what God did. He gave him a minuscule job. I wouldn't say that so much, but he told Gideon, he says, I want you to do something for me. You know that grove behind your daddy's house? He said, I want you to tear it down and make an offering unto me. Good gracious. Because there are some things you got to tear down before God can be pleased. Isn't that right? And so God gave him some orders just to see what he would do. See, God will try you before he give you some big stuff to do. He'll give you some little stuff. Because if you're faithful over the little stuff, then you can handle the big stuff. And so Gideon got him some boys. They tore down the groves. They made a sacrifice unto the Lord, and it pleased God. And he was excited about that. You see, in our houses sometimes, we got stuff up in there. And I heard the pastor allude to it on last week. We got children in our homes who got all of these electronic gadgets and all of that stuff. And they cussing and fussing and doing everything on. They say MySpace and all of that, Facebook and all of that mess. But what they're doing, if you get to read some of that stuff, you'll be ashamed of your own child. And the reason why our society has went to those things, because we already had kicked down the door, because they used to shut themselves up in the room. We kicked that down. Now you need to unplug some stuff. You need to take them gadgets away from them. What they need with a cell phone, they at school. Huh? Why you need a cell phone? You can't get your lesson because you texting somebody. They must be texting you the answers to the test. Because you need to tear down some stuff. Huh? You can't pay your tithes because you're paying folks' cell phone numbers. Huh? You got 5 kids and all of them in the house got a cell phone. For what? You need to cancel some of them contracts. Toughest things is right now. Huh? Good gracious of life. Start canceling stuff. Make the child accountable to you. After all, they're in the same army. Huh? And you ought to be training them up in the way that they should go. So when they're old, they won't depart from the word of God. And so he done as God required. And then he wanted to check out God to make sure God's word was good. And he asked God, he says, Lord, if you're going to deliver them into my hands, I got a fleece here. And I want you to make the fleece wet and the ground dry. Huh? And God said, all right. Huh? The next morning he got up and he was wringing his fleece out. It was full of water, but the ground was dry. And then he said, Lord, I don't mean to trouble you much, but can you reverse that thing? Can you make the ground wet and the fleece dry? Good gracious Lord. Huh? God already know the intentions of his heart. Because when you read the story about Gideon and you flip over to the 11th chapter of Hebrew, then you find that he one of the heroes of faith. When you look and God did what he asked, but then it was time to fight. See, the 20,000 that went home, the Bible said that they were scared. Isn't that right? They were afraid of a fight. Isn't that right? And a lot of us in here today are afraid of a real fight. Huh? And brother, good. My friend here, he short in stature. Huh? But it don't matter how short you is. Huh? But it ain't how small the dog, but how much fight the dog got in him. Huh? Isn't that right? And the thing is that you got to be able to stand for the Lord and stop running out every time. Every time something come up, because there are some things that's worth fighting for. When we look at Flat Rock and the persons that are working. I'm not talking about in these four walls. I'm talking about when you're in the army, you're in the army away from the church. You're not just in the army here. You can't take the uniform off here and then go home and put on your slips and your slides and just slide all around town. That ain't how it works. Matter of fact, you got to be stronger while you're on the outside than you're on the inside. You might show me your best side while you're here, but how the other side look. Good gracious of God. And so, 22,000 went home. How many of you can God really count on? If a fight broke out right now, and the pastor was soliciting folk to help him, how many of y'all stay here? He said, meet me after church, and then go out and check the parking lot. Good gracious, a lot. Bro, pastor, I got to go. I got to do this and I got to do that because we're not ready to fight. You did say you were in the army. You signed up for this, didn't you? Because you said, Lord, I'm giving my heart to you, right? I'm giving my soul to you. Now, what would you have me to do? Why did you sign up if you wasn't ready to fight? I found that there's some things worth fighting for. I got to fight for my relationship with God because I got an adversary, the devil, which is trying to destroy what I'm trying to do for the Lord. Huh? I got a reason to fight because I got a family and I got to stand and hold up the blood-stained banner for Jesus. I got to, for Jesus I live and for Jesus I die. I got to stand for the Lord. I can't get slack when it comes and giving to the Lord because I got to do all that I can while I can. And so I got to dig deep and get a heap. And God has the kind of God that he'll put money in your pocket if you're going to do the right thing. Not afraid to open up the reservoir and let the giving start. And some things are worth fighting for. It's worth fighting to go to the hospital, visiting the sick. Huh? Sometimes it don't smell so nice in those places. Going to the rest home, visiting those who are, Lord, less fortunate than us. Huh? That they can't move around like we can. But it's worth fighting for. To get up early in the morning, huh? On the day that you should be resting, but you get up and you go and you what? You give service to the Lord because you know you're in a fight. And then they went home. Will you go home? Because I discovered that Pastor, every week, he challenges us with the word of God to do our best. And sometimes it go in one ear and come out the other. What are you willing to do? Don't you know that you're in a fight? When you got saved, you have to understand there was a fight going on because you got two natures. You got the nature of God and then you got the sinful nature. Huh? Don't you know that you was already in the fight whether you wanted to be or not? You're dealing with two things here, huh? You got the Spirit of God pulling you one way, but then you got the flesh pulling you another way, wanting you to do wrong. See, when Adam sinned and when the Lord saved us, he didn't take that away from us, but he's just put his Spirit in us, that if we would listen to the inner man, and then we can kill the old man, which is the sinful nature. But you got to understand that. You didn't even realize that you was in a fight all along. But you got to battle your way. Huh? You can't listen to the outside, but you got to listen to the inside. Huh? Because there's a still voice that is ringing in your ear. And then if you don't listen to him, after a while, he'll shut up. Because he can't hear you through all of your foolishness. And then God said, take them down by the water. And I know a lot of folk in here can't swim. Lord have mercy. Water gets you every time. Huh? Especially black folk. Throw them in that water. Let's see, can you sink or swim? Huh? Sometimes God throw us in the water, not the kind that H2O. But God will throw you in the water of adversity to see whether you can sink or swim. Good gracious a lot. Huh, some stuff be going on in your family. Huh, God will see if you can sink or swim then. Can you withstand a little bit stuff? And guess what? 9,700 went home. They left 300. Now calculate that times 135,000. You know what it comes out to be? 450 persons against one person. And if you would only trust God, because he in the majority all by himself. Good Christ. And if you would only trust God, because he in the majority all by himself. Good Christ. See, when the Lord saved us, we ought to recognize the story is not that difficult to understand. It's just simply saying that you have to put your trust in the Lord because he's the one who's fighting the battle all along. Huh? Isaiah, 54:17 says that there is no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Huh? He told us in Matthew, the 16th chapter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't get a victory against it. You ought to know that we're in a fixed fight, y'all. Good gracious or not. Huh? I don't have to wait. I can shout now because I already know what God done did for me. You ought to know. You say you're in the army, but you haven't been fighting. But now it's the time to fight. It's time to put up a shut up. Huh? What you gonna do? Huh? Because God, Jesus is coming back. Huh? Good. He coming back for his church. And when he finds the church, it will be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Is that right? Oh, I know we got some flies in our buttermilk, but God says that you're going to be straightened out. Huh? He says that I got it because when he died on the cross, I recognized, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That he died for what? Yes, sir. For past sin, yes, sir. Present sin, and for future sin,
that he paid the price for it all. But if you haven't been trained, how you going to put up a fight? Y'all hear me today. Listen to me, good folk. These 300 men that went into battle, and I want to bring it forward to our time. When you find a brother or sister in the Lord who are willing to get trained, train them up. Is that right? So they can fight the good fight. See, when you come to prayer meeting, you can pick and choose your own seat because there's so much room back there. Huh? And you don't find 90% of the people back there, but you only find 10% of the folk that will come to prayer meeting. Then you will only find a few folk that come to Sunday school. They don't want to be trained. Because they given up training to watch TV. Good grace of the Lord. You got babies at home laying up with you. How you gonna train them up in Jesus? And they laying in the bed playing with the video game. What are you willing to do? We've been challenging our Sunday school to get out here. You need to get up in the morning. Huh? God give you banker's hours. Huh? Because we'll go to work 5, 6, and 7 o'clock in the morning. We don't have no problem meeting that deadline. But when it comes to the Lord, you ain't got to be here till 9:45. Good graces of life. But we lay up because we weekend warriors. See, reserve units only serve, and then sometimes we got it down too, because we must understand about the reserve, because some of us only come once a month. But you got to do better than that. Maybe God should only bless you once a month. That's all you giving him. And why should he? You know why he bless us? Sometimes in spite of ourselves. Because he love us so much. He understand. He look at us and he said he hasn't dealt with us according to our sin or our iniquity. He remembers that we simply dust. God know what he's doing. And he knows how we feel about him. We say we love the Lord. Then how much do you really love him? And what are you willing to do for the Lord? Are you willing to fight for him? And so, the 300, I believe, was Sunday school. In Sunday school, they were in Bible study. They went to the hospital to visit the sick. They had a resolve. They had a dedication to the Lord. They were putting it all on the line. They were ready to fight. And when you're ready to fight, can't nobody beat you if you got the Lord. If the Lord be for you, then who can be against you? You can't overcome God. Even though, God intentionally send them folk home. He said, y'all go. He knew that they wasn't going to do nothing anyway. But then what God was looking at was this. He said, because he told them, we read it in the text, He says that there are too many for me to give them into your hands. He says, all right, get down to the bare minimum. And he got them all the way down to 300. And then that's just like grace. It says, for by grace we are saved through faith. Huh? Is that right? He says, not of what works. He says, lest any man should boast. You didn't even save yourself. It was a free gift from God. Good graces of life. You can't thumb your suspenders about that. And then the victories that you got, it was because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Pastor, I went to the job, and then I put in for the job. I put my resume in, but guess what? There was a lot of other folk that put them in too. So the odds were really high against me. But guess what? God stuck his hand down. He knew what my name was all the time. And then when he stuck his hand in the bowl, he pulled out my resume. How many resumes has God pulled out for you? When the odds looked like they were against you, but God got you the job. In spite of the economic downturn, God got you the job in spite of. Look at the God that we're serving. We misunderstand about everything. We don't even get it. How good God is. We give God, we want to tip God about everything. Huh, you ain't even paid the bill and you want to give him a tip. God don't want no tip. But when you get in this army, we about finished, y'all. When you get in this army, if you're going to fight, Paul told us that you're going to have to put on some equipment. If you're going to get in this fight, you got to have on the right equipment. You got to be trained, huh? See, Pastor was in the Marines, and I was in the Navy. Huh? That was two armed forces, right? And I always tell him, I already teased him about that Marine thing. Because I told him the only good Marine was a submarine. Huh? Because. Well, he had a comeback, y'all. But see, him being in Nam, we were in the Vietnam conflict. Is that right? And bro, Pastor had some hard things he had to do. And he ain't privy to shadow things with us. But when you're in the army, you got to be dedicated. You got to be disciplined. Else the enemy will overwhelm you. Huh? You have to run some reconnaissance. Is that right? You got to what? Look, and then you got to what? Adapt to whatever situation you're in. And that's what you got to do when you're in this army. Is that right? And then Paul goes on to tell us in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. He says when you start out, good graces of life. He said that you have to have your loins girded about with truth. Is that right? Huh? You have to what? Understand you have to have a what? A working knowledge of God's word. Is that right? And then he says that you have to have on the breastplate of righteousness. Huh? And that speaks to your character. What kind of character you got? Is it a holy character or is it an unholy character? Huh? Is it moral or unmoral? Which one is it? And then you got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Is that right? You got to have an eagerness to get out there. Huh? Let me say this, Pastor. There's a squad in this church that goes out. And they go in the enemy territory. Huh? They go out there. And it's only a few. And see, these are the kind of folk I like to get in a spiritual foxhole with. See, you can't get in a foxhole with everybody. But there are some folk that I don't mind getting in the foxhole with. Because I know they're going to fight. And I'm going to tell you, straight up, brethren, they some sisters. Because they go out and they be a witness for the Lord. And they're not afraid and they don't mind praying. and I want to recognize them because God knows who they are. And a lot of time we don't want to go. We find excuses why we can't go. But then we go and we share the word. We pray for folk. We tried, huh? Because there are many homes out there that we stopped by and we shared the gospel. We gave them tracts. We prayed in front of their houses because we didn't know what was in the house. And then the next time we could go to the house because we've been praying for the house. And then you got to take the shield of faith that will ward off all the darts of the enemy, because he coming your way. If you're in this army, he going to be throwing, he going to be shooting at you. And what you going to do if you don't have the shield of faith to ward off these rascals? Isn't that right? And then you got to trust God and his promises, what he's promised us. Is that right? Then the helmet of salvation, you got to have a blessed assurance that God is good to what he say he going to do. Isn't that right? And then it says the sword of the spirit. And when you go, when a soldier go to war, he slings his rifle over his shoulder. But you got to take the word of God and sling it over your heart and become a living epistle. So then the event the devil gets to shooting at you, you say, oh, don't worry about that, because I got my shield up and I can block foolishness. And I got some stuff to shoot back at you. Good graces of life. See, we can't be waving no white flag. No, that ain't that kind of army. Because we've been called to pull down strongholds. When you go into the devil territory, you're going to have to pull down some stuff. You're going to have to get in the fight, else you're going to run off like a sick dog. And then the prayer. You got to go. If you don't pray, you're inadequate. You got to pray. When we leave the church, we have prayer. The sisters know who I'm talking about. When we go, we have prayer before we go. That the Lord will what? We say, Lord, we're going in your power, but we're going to leave the rest to you. See, you go tell folk about the word. And we don't worry about making the increase. That's God's job. And so, they got the victory because what Gideon did, God gave him the plan. Divide up your forces, in three. 100 here, one there, and one there. He didn't give them swords, y'all. Good. You know, good Lord Almighty. Good graces of life. But he gave them some stuff that you never would have thought would have got the victory. Is that right? He gave them some victors we call them gas thing. He gave them that. And he said that he gave them a trumpet in their left hand and they had the victors in their right hand. It was like a lantern. And he told him, when I blow the horn, do like I do. And when he blew the horn and he broke the pitch, and it was fire everywhere, then the folk in the camp got scared. And they began to run into each other and stab each other. And God got the victory because they listened to the plan of God. And I seen the same plan when I was watching a movie one time, Movie Buff. And they demoralized the enemy because the enemy thought there was more than what was really out there. But it was only a few folk that got the victory because the Lord was on their side. Do you want the victory? You can be an army of one if you would only have a made up mind. If you would only trust God with all that's within you. You said that you would love him till you die. Then you ought to show him some love sometime. But then, in closing, when John wrote in the book of Revelations, and he wrote these words, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Good. It wasn't that fake Jesus. Because the Bible says he was called faithful and true. Good gracious Lord. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. And then it says that his eyes was like flames of fire, that he can scrutinize everything. Can't nothing get past Jesus. And then it said that he had many crowns on his head. Good gracious Lord. Mean that he's Lord over everything. Everybody is subject to the Lord, even to those who don't believe. You're still subject to God. And then he says he was clothed. His vesture was dripped in blood. Good gracious Lord. Somebody understand this, because, see, sometime when you go into battle, you got to hold up the blood-stained banner of Jesus. Isn't that right? Now, they got the flag of the United States, but the Christian got a flag. And you know what that flag is? It is the blood-stained banner of Jesus. And then it says that he was clothed in fine linen, right? And out, and see, he had an army. Remember, I told you you were in the army. All right. He had an army following him. And they had on white apparel. Huh? You didn't realize that when you leave this earth, you're coming back. And when you come back this time, you're going to be in a different kind of army. Huh? Because the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords, he's going to be leading the way. And then in Boston, they said that it was on his thigh, written on his thigh, King of King and Lords of Lord. And everywhere this king went, his army went with him. See, the army is what the church and all of those who have went on to glory before us. It is all of those who have come to the knowledge and saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They will be the part of the army. And when we come back down here, we're going to vanquish the enemy. And if you got any kinfolk down here, guess what? We're going to vanquish them as well. Because when you go, the former thing's going to be gone. You're going to have a new day. And sin, you won't be able to stand it. We tolerate stuff right now. But when you come again, it won't be like that. Because the commander-in-chief, and I ain't talking about no Barack neither, because he can't even get folk to do anything down here. But I got a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who will be leading the way on this charge. And when it come, he going to have his way. Because the same King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what he did, he got the keys to the kingdom. And he got the keys not only to the kingdom, but he got them to hell as well. He got life and death in his hand. And when Jesus died on the cross, when he got up from the dead, the Bible says that he has all authority. He has all power in his hands in heaven and earth. And everybody got to be subject to the Lord. That's why a lot of time when you hear me pray, I always say at the end, every knee must bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that Jesus is Lord. He says that you need the payment now or you'll pay it later. Which way ever you wanted to take this thing, you got to still be accountable to the Lord, because he gonna have his way. I encourage your hearts today. Get in the fight. Roll up your sleeves. Gird yourself up. Get in the fight. And fight the good fight. At the end of Paul's life, he says, Lord, I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. I'm ready to be offered up now. Because why? He done what the Lord told him to do. But before he left, he gave orders to Timothy. He says, endure the hardness of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He wanted to pass it along. So when Timothy had to go through things, he'll know that he's in the army. He's in the army of the Lord. God bless your hearts today, church.